Hey guys, what's up? It's me, William the Opinion Updike. I'm here with Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you every Monday through Friday with fresh new Clippers content. I'm joined every day by my best friend,
Positive Chuck Mockler, guys.
Got a heck of a show lined up for you today. So today is, what day is it today? It's Wednesday.
Wednesday, yes.
Which means what could have been Wednesdays or Parallel Universe? What could have happened if some things turned out a little bit differently? We've got some really modern ones for you this time. We stay focused on the current era. We're always moving forward.
Yeah, that's key. While looking back.
That's something you can expect from this team. But before we get too deep into it, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about Tom's Urban.
Oh.
Have you been?
I have been.
It's beautiful. Downtown LA.
Yeah.
Staples Center.
It's great.
Yeah, right next to it. So anytime you're going to a game, make sure to check out Tom's Urban. They have a happy hour where it's half off anything that pours. That could mean beers. That could mean Cuervo. That could mean, I didn't even list like a nice tequila. And aside from that, on December 3rd, which is next Monday, your boys, us.
We're going to be in there.
We're going to be there. We're going to be doing a little bit of an event for the away game of the Clippers versus the Pelicans. Come in, check it out. The game starts at 5. We'll be there till bar close. You know us. come by and say what's up. And Tom's Urban.
We got giveaways. They got $15 beer and wing special. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be awesome. So, what all do we have? What else? What other wonders do we have today? We got an NBA wrap-up.
Preview of the Suns game tonight.
And a preview against the Phoenix Suns.
Let's get into it real quick. So, preview against the Suns game. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm expecting a victory.
I'm expecting a victory, too. Someone mentioned on Twitter this might be a trap game, but I'm not sure.
I don't, of this three-game stretch of these teams that are like at sneaky 500 or the bottom of the conference, this is not the one that worries me.
The one against the Kings is the one that worries you.
The Kings is the one that worries me.
Yeah. So this one, we're getting the Suns. This is the first of a back-to-back for us, but
yeah,
this is the second of a back-to-back for them. And their guys played a lot of minutes yesterday. I think Booker played like over 35. I think Ayton played something like 30. So we're going to be getting a tired Suns team.
Yeah.
Which is going to be good.
Yeah, I think that thus far is one it's not even intangible, but one thing that's kind of luckily rolled our way is a lot of teams we have faced when they're on the second of a back-to-back or on a little bit less rest than we are.
Yeah.
So we're less rest-heavy, I believe, in the next stretch of games.
For sure.
Games just happening, if they're not back-to-back, so they're closer, so there's not as much time in between.
Yeah. And
which is great for viewing.
Yeah, fantastic for us.
Understand that's hard on the team.
Yeah. And everyone's not sick anymore on the Clippers, which is nice. Whatever virus was going around.
The bug went through.
Yeah. So what do we need to do to win?
I think it's going to be, I would like to use this as an exercise to really push the pace.
Yeah. Pedal to the metal.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Suns are 28th in both offensive rating and defensive rating.
Oof.
And I think that the more possessions we can try to force,
yeah,
just the more opportunities we have to exploit their weaknesses.
I like that.
Whether it be, you know, like with our defense getting stops and like kind of, I think the more reps we're getting into, obviously they're going to get into a better rhythm.
Yeah.
So why not why not make this a 110 plus possession game?
Yeah, let's run it out.
Like,
you want to see some running and gunning.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be nice. I think also the Suns are a team, we do this too, but the Suns kind of play, we do this when we're playing poorly. The Suns' play style is dictated by whatever the opponent's doing a lot of the time. So I think if you can get them into a rhythm that they're not used to, then that's really going to get them off track, obviously.
Yeah.
So if we could push that to a bunch of possessions, let's just blow them out, dude. They're also, weirdly, they're dead last in rebounds.
Which is
kind of shocking.
It's pretty surprising to
me. And we're weirdly top 10 in rebounds. Just as shocking, I would say.
Yeah, they got some big bodies out there. But yeah, the fight on the glass is going to be interesting to watch.
Ayton's probably going to win the individual battle. Against whoever our center is who guards him.
I think that Montrez could body him up.
That'd be nice. If we can get him to shut him down on the boards, I think that goes a long way for your idea of just pushing the pace.
Yeah.
Just grab those boards and run.
Absolutely.
Hmm. I wonder if I'm interested to see Trez versus Ayton.
I think that he has the physical tools and just the motor to
annoy him.
To annoy him. And I think that Trez obviously has more like actual NBA seasons under his belt.
Yeah.
And I think that that will show in the stretch, depending on Ayton plays. Trez will also have to play less minutes. Like, he's going to be fresh out there.
Yeah.
So I think that anytime those two are on the floor, it's going to be something to watch.
Yeah, I hope he gets physical with him. Ayton does kind of shy away from contact.
Oh, yeah.
It's always so weird for giant dudes who play in the post their whole life.
Definitely.
Can you shy away from contact?
Yeah, and that skill set will definitely develop. Him, but it's already there for Trez, so I think that watching those guys, I hope that we get to see him like battle out for rebounds. Mm-hmm. Trez is going to be boxing him out real hard.
One more thing for me is the Suns are 28th in total scoring, and we have a tendency to really suck for one quarter.
I think that
like,
I think that is the only chance that we have to lose this game. If we
they get to a hot start or something like that.
If they get to a hot start, or if we just don't come out with like the energy,
taking them too lightly.
Yeah, yeah. If we don't have like the energy and the focus that you need, to stay number one in the West.
Because a reason Crawford might get streaky.
They might get streaky. Your best case for them?
Well, yeah. What's your best case?
They might get hot. Hot.
Because Crawford, as all Clippers fans know, when he gets going, it's very similar to Lou Williams.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we still have Lou to maybe combat that. But if Crawford gets hot, as you say, I think that could maybe doom us.
I guess I'm the most worried about TJ Warren.
Yeah, this goes great into our what could go wrong situation.
Yeah, I think that... this is key, both key matchups and what could go wrong.
Yeah, it's all lumped together.
but I think that it's going to be interesting. I don't know who's going to guard him.
TJ Warren?
Yeah.
I was guessing
probably Tobias, but I'm not sure. I think that if he starts scoring early, I'd definitely switch to Gallo, put Gallo on him.
For sure.
That
is interesting because their forward situation is kind of murky.
Yeah.
Not murky, but you're right. Like, it's kind of an odd matchup for us.
Yeah. And I think that they're like the forwards on their bench could give us a little bit of trouble, too.
Yeah. It's hard to find good things to say about the Suns.
They have a lot of pieces.
That's the best, like, low key. Like, no, they have a lot of,
they're a fun to watch team.
Oh, yeah. Another thing could go wrong. This is, again, kind of fishing, I guess. Ayton all of a sudden decides to embrace the contact and just destroys Gortat.
I do think that Gortat is going to have a hard night.
Yeah. Because Ayton is kind of like a prototypical, quote unquote, I guess more kind of old school center.
Yeah.
But he's just in so much.
We will have no answer for him like on interior defense.
Yeah.
Maybe Trez. Maybe.
Maybe Trez, for sure.
And I think that that would be due to Ayton getting like tired and like worn down the stretch.
Yeah.
But yeah, like on the inside, I think that this is a huge what could go wrong. Like, we don't have an answer for that.
And especially if he's hitting those shots from outside the paint, it's going to be like they're spacing. If another one of their wings is hitting their 3-point shots, could prove really difficult to deal with.
Yeah. And that's a worst case scenario too. If anybody is hot enough that we have to double up on them, they have dangerous guys.
Yeah,
that like if our defense is like slipping or we have to worry about someone else. I mean, there are holes that can be exploited. So I don't want to like completely write off this Phoenix team.
That goes kind of to the next point: is our guys just come out flat and have to play catch up early like we did against the Hawks?
Yeah, and like I think what could go wrong for me, and I don't want this to sound bad or like too slanderous of the Suns, but like I don't want us to have to expend a whole lot of energy in this game.
No,
this I don't is want so this similar. To be a hair pulling overtime game.
Yeah.
Like we have a back to back. Like it's like a little bit of. I think there's some level of like you need to reserve.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the Hawks game. That was the first game of a back to back. And we were like, whoa, we hope we don't have to play catch up. And then we just had to like scramble.
Yeah.
To get that. So that would be, that I think is the biggest thing. That and what you said about the if we have to double team one guy, that might be kind of difficult. Let's get into some key matchups. Booker versus Bradley.
That's interesting.
Do you think Bradley's going to be guarding him?
Yes.
I hope.
I would guess that Bradley's going to be doing it. And then if like when Booker runs the point, I would guess that Beverly or Shea.
Yeah. Bradley's defense has been on, he's like had such what, I think it's kind of hard to explain to people, like when someone's playing good defense for a couple games, I think it's hard to kind of like quantify that.
Well, you were kind of down, you've been kind of down on Bradley like almost ever since he got back. And
yeah.
I do think that like while the stats haven't always been there, and he really is like a rhythm guy when it comes to scoring.
Yeah.
Every time I watch him, I feel like he's like a difference maker out there.
The last three games, it's been fantastic. Starting with that, you know, that strip against the Grizzlies game, that's just like kicked in this stretch of great defense by him.
Insane.
It's nice for me. I like being wrong about Bradley on this end. So it's like, if he can shut Book down and keep his kind of defensive hot streak going.
Definitely.
It's one of the few defensive hot streaks where you can really see it playing out.
Well, and this is a classic get your mind right game.
Exactly.
So if Bradley like wants to keep this rhythm going or like
perfect situation,
lock back in, this is the game to really get your mind right.
We just talked about this one, Ayton versus all of our centers. Could we see some Boban in this game?
I think that that's interesting.
On Twitter said they think Boban's going to go for 15 tonight.
I think that is very interesting.
If he's tired, putting Boban on him, I feel like is the nail in the coffin for your energy.
Yeah.
When you can only really make your money banging down low, you don't want to have to go against Boban.
Yeah. Well, I guess the only thing that I would worry about Boban would be defending Ayton, because he does have a little bit of a shot from outside.
And he has some gorgeous footwork.
Yeah. And he is like, he has a lot more explosive like athleticism than Boban does. But I mean, I don't even know if he would defend Boban like on the other end.
Yeah, like would he
you
switch?
Know what I mean?
Yeah, he just stands in the corner and he's like, I'm out, man.
No thanks.
How am I supposed to go? This guy's too damn tall. You get this guy 7'3", he doesn't even want to play basketball. Bench versus bench. Our guys should eat them alive.
Yeah, I think the bench is gonna end up playing a lot of minutes tonight.
As they
always do, you know. But I think that tonight it's going to be especially important for those guys to really be able to show up. So some of our guys, like obviously Tobias and Gallo, can get a little bit of a break.
Yeah, Twitter user Carlton Ganks, very active on Twitter for Clippers Twitter, predicts Lou Williams is going to go for 30 tonight.
That'd be great.
I could see it happening.
That'd be great.
It'd be cool to see a Lou Will, Jamal Crawford battle where they're both just like putting up insane shots and they're just both falling. Obviously, we get the win in that situation, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But like, it'd be cool. It's going to be cool to see Jamal and Lou Will going at it.
Yeah. Six man versus six man.
That'd be hot. Predictions. What do you think's going down?
I'm predicting a win. I'm going to say one. I really don't want this to be like necessarily like a huge high scoring game.
For sure.
But I think it will be. So
yeah.
I think I'm going to go 118 to 98.
Damn, you love wanting teams to just never score 100 points.
I'm all about it.
In the new NBA, that's a very optimistic.
But realistically, it's probably going to be like 118 to 108.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking 130 for the Clippers.
Holy crap!
118 for the Suns. I think it's going to get a little sloppy late, but we're going to pull away.
Yeah.
Hopefully, that's been our quick recap prediction. Excuse me, of the Suns game. Want to give a quick shout out to one of our show sponsors real quick, Metro Infinity.
Great.
Over in Monrovia, just off the 210, 821 East Central.
Aren't they the oldest family-owned car dealership in California?
Over 25 years.
Wow.
Truly, truly fascinating. If you can't go to the dealership, they have this really cool thing where they will come to your home or office and complete the whole transaction, give you the car, give you the paperwork, flex in front of your coworkers. Make sure to mention Locked On, and they'll give you $500 off any car purchase. 50 would be kind of a slap in the face.
That's not that significant. But $500, I mean, that's pretty solid.
If you're thinking about a new car or an Infiniti or a new car in general, give them a chance to earn your business. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. Right now, lease a hot Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with Navi, $1,000 down, $325 a month plus tax. That's it. Mention Locked On, another $500 off.
So,
parallel universe time.
Yeah, you put some interesting ones in here.
Yeah, these are very new.
Yeah, I mean, they're like...
There's only so many historical things you can go over before you kind of beating it with a beating a dead horse.
Yeah, definitely.
You want to say the first one?
Yeah. So, what if Avery Bradley never got hurt?
Yeah.
Would Shea still be on the second unit? I don't know. So
I think
let's break it down. I think so.
I think right? so too.
Because we saw Shea even had similar numbers and somewhat similar minutes coming off the bench.
Yes.
He was getting much more playing time than I had even expected.
I think a lot of people for sure.
You know, I was worried that because of, you know, Doc's history that maybe he would be struggling to get 12 to 15 minutes per game.
Yeah, definitely.
And that has proved untrue. I've been pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
But I think him in the starting lineup, I've said this a million times on this podcast, but like it makes our offense more dangerous, I want to say. Like, there's more weapons.
It runs.
Yeah. It just runs. He has a playmaking ability, and just I think it's due to his height and just the connection he kind of is building with his teammates.
Yeah.
Like it just feels like there's more options. And there's like a little bit better movement and kind of like off ball awareness when he's on the court.
Yeah, there's a lot more balance with the offense because you don't have just two defensive stalwarts who, I mean, at one point these guys were combining Patrick Beverley and Avery Bradley. If you're new to watching the Clippers or listening, they were combining for like 9 points a game for a couple of games, and it was just like it looked anemic.
And they have had much better showings individually.
Yeah.
I think on the floor, though, it is, to me, it's a net negative with both guys sharing the floor.
Well, I like your analysis that you can't stop every offensive possession that the other team has.
No, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you're not scoring at all, so your plan is just to stop every time?
every
time you're going to get a stop?
Yeah.
Or a steal or a block? Like,
I think he would also still be on the second unit if Bradley never got hurt. And it would, I think we would be a lot more frustrated as a fan base than we are now.
Yeah. I mean, it's just good to see a shakeup.
A Shea cup?
Exactly. and I think that it's been good for Bradley actually as well.
Yeah.
He gets a little bit of rest. I don't think that he's like an ego guy in that he needs to be starting.
So, yeah, which is nice to see.
At least, I've never gotten that. I've never like gotten that interpretation.
Yeah. And that's nice with Beverly too.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
I'll come off the bench. Shea's individual numbers, do you think they'd be better in a vacuum if he was on the second unit?
No, I don't.
I think he would maybe score a little more, but I think it wouldn't. Actually, maybe not because Lou's out there.
I think that's possible, but I love Lou Will, big Lou Will fan. I don't like Shea and Lou together for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. I think it's great for like short lineups or like, you know, get some get bucket lineups. I think sometimes especially when Lou is running the point, it can stagnate the offense a little bit because everybody is just kind of resting on their laurels and like resting on their laurels rather and just kind of waiting to be like, oh, look, Lou's gonna do his thing.
Lou's got this. Yeah, and that would be kind of a bad tendency to get into, especially as a rookie as well.
Yeah.
Of just kind of, I mean, not everyone's lucky enough to play with a Lou Will.
No, exactly. And I mean, it's been Lou Will's role like since he's been with the team. He's been like the get buckets guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. I just think that he's obviously better with the ball in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that offers as many opportunities for Shea to grow. And I think that Doc saw that too.
And figured
hence,
it out.
Yeah. Hence that pairing with him, either with one of Beverly or Bradley in the backcourt.
It would be kind of cool to see, like, because Shea does kind of have some confidence issues, I guess, right now.
Yeah.
With his 3-point shot. So it would be kind of interesting to see.
He's still shooting something though, like 37%.
Yeah, he's not shooting bad.
He's very efficient. I tend to get down a little bit on his scoring, but then I like look at how efficient he really is.
Yeah, and it's like, okay.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah, I just wish he was a little more aggressive.
I wish he was a little bit more aggressive. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I wish that the assist to turnover ratio was better.
Yes. And then another one, this is kind of a quick one. So there was initially some talk that during the draft, maybe the Clippers would trade into the top 10. And Tobias Harris was floated as a player to keep an eye on with these negotiations. If we go into the top 10, who do you think we take? Do you think we end up with Shea still?
I don't think we end up taking Shea that high. I think they would. I think they would have taken maybe Colin Sexton.
Oh God! Why we didn't do that?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we maybe would have gone.
Maybe Kevin Knox.
That would have been cool.
I don't think Tobias is worth any of those players.
Oh, agreed. I don't either. I'm really. I mean, obviously, I think everyone's glad we didn't do the trade. I thought maybe if we went up higher, we could still maybe get Shea at. Would we take him 12?
Yeah, well, 11. Yeah,
11 with the trade. And then maybe we go after a guy like Mo Bamba.
I think that's fine. I haven't been that hot on Mo Bamba.
He's been playing kind of poorly. I just, there was an interesting thing. Doc apparently was just like blown away by his draft interview.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mo Bamba, the quote was, my initial impressions of Mo Bamba was he was the only guy who came into the interview session with a briefcase and a CD, which I didn't even know existed anymore, of himself. Of just, like, things he was good at. Like, he, like, went into it like an interview. Like, he, like, wore a suit and all this stuff.
He seems like a good guy. Like, I'm not taking anything against Mo Bamba. I just, like, from what I've seen so far, and it obviously could be due to fit and where he ended up. I haven't been like super impressed. He plays like a rookie.
Yeah.
And I like, don't, I definitely don't think that's worth giving up Tobias Harris.
Yeah. And if you're not cracking that Magic roster,
yeah.
What are you doing?
And like, I don't know. Tobias is still so young.
Yeah.
I would just be hard pressed to find a unproven NBA rookie that I would think
rather have than him.
Yeah.
Other than like in the last draft, I guess Luka. But he's still a proven player because he is a EuroLeague MVP. And like, but that's like the only one for me who it would have made any sense to move up.
Yeah, I guess Luka would be a good one. I mean, Ayton, I think, is obviously going to have like a really long career. I still am not at the point where I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll give up Tobias Harris. Because I don't know. I still don't feel as though I've seen Tobias Harris's ceiling.
Yeah, agreed. He just keeps getting better.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe he will never be the superstar that Ayton or, I mean, Luka will be.
Yeah. But he's always going to be he's a 1B right now.
Yeah, and I mean, just the other thing is you got to think about like your windows for a possible championship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Tobias fits a little bit better with our window. Because if we had a high draft pick and then let's say we still take Shea too,
yeah.
That's two guys at the same time that we might be looking at having to give pretty substantial contracts.
Yeah. Right. That's a good call.
After their rookie years or after the rookie deal is up, and that would
suck.
Yeah. That would pretty much eliminate any chance of having a max.
Yeah,
another max guy if we want to be aggressive this offseason.
Yeah, and unless one of those guys was as good as a max guy, it would really they'd be kind of like a Timberwolves situation.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. Thank God that didn't happen in the Arrowlil universe. Coming up, we're going to do a quick NBA wrap-up. But first, Will, you love betting on sports.
It's my favorite.
And you, do you have a website you go to?
Website? No.
What's a website? If you're looking for a website, check out mybookie.com. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000.
Whoa, 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 what?
That's not bad. Use promo code EnterLockedOn to activate the offer. That's MyBookie.com, MyBookie, not ID. Jesus. Don't forget to enter the promo code EnterLockedOn when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
Wow. So the Lakers took a hard L last night.
Man, one of the biggest L, I mean, literally the biggest L in the history of Nuggets versus Lakers.
Yeah. Wow.
That, not good.
No, so final score was 117-85.
Cool 32-point loss.
Has any other team, oh no, there was that freak game where didn't the Jazz have like 64 points or something?
68.
Man.
I mean, the Lakers scored as many points as the Warriors did in that
one. They were one shy from being the coolest guys ever.
Yeah, it was not a good game.
There were some bright spots, I guess.
Yes. This game didn't even seem... We caught the tail end of it getting a slice of pizza, but it did not look fun for either side, weirdly.
No. But Kuzma led with 21. LeBron and Ingram each had 14. Man, the Nuggets, like, just a great... Like, it's really spread out.
Everyone.
Egalitarian, nice. If you will.
Yeah.
20 points each from Jamal Murray, Paul Millsap, and Malik Beasley.
The crazy thing is Jokic didn't even have that good of a game.
No.
I was going to look at the stats, and I was expecting like a, you know, 14, 12, and 9 or something like that. He didn't play. He didn't. His stats weren't that eye-popping.
Yeah, but just the eye test when I was re-watching the highlights, too, I was just kind of like, huh, wonder what's going on there.
Yeah. The Lakers only scored 14 in the final frame. The Lakers' defense is... This is like watching a Cavs team, but with like a better potential factor.
Definitely.
Like,
definitely.
It's like, cool, LeBron is still clearly running the show, which is fine if you can figure out how to make it work.
Yeah.
But the like everyone's like, you need shooters around LeBron, and the Lakers were like, no, we don't.
Nah.
Nah, why would we do that?
Well, because I thought their whole thing... The whole thing in the offseason was like, no, we're not going to surround LeBron with shooters. We're going to do what no one else has done and have a great defense.
Yeah, that's
and not then happening. You got the guys that you got. And
that you wanted.
I think that's maybe a stretch. You got the guys
true.
That you could get.
Yeah, for one-year deals.
You got the disposable guys.
Yeah.
the expendables.
Nice.
And now...
You're
I
bad.
Mean, I, yeah,
You're not
now,
bad, but like they're a middling team right now.
They are a middling team that's going to make it into the playoffs because of LeBron.
For sure. It's also insane. We don't play them until, what, next month?
Yeah, it's a long time. It's a long ways away. I'm just surprised that, yeah, 20 games in, we still haven't played the other team in LA.
The other team? Yeah, very weird. Elsewhere, the Pacers beat the Suns 109-104, thankfully tiring out those young legs that we have to play tonight. TJ Warren was the scoring leader for the Suns with 25. Booker had 20. DeAndre Ayton put up a cool 18 and 12. Warren and Booker both played over 35 minutes.
Nice.
That sucks.
That's a lot of minutes. My dude, DeMontis Sabonis.
Dude,
Sabonis?
Crushing.
Sabonis. 21, 16 boards.
16 boards.
He looked great,
off
too.
Off the bench, too, dude.
Yeah, he looked great.
Him and Doug McDermott both had 21 points. Co-leading scores, both off the bench.
Yeah.
That's really... We've both have been pretty high on the Pacers, and this was like... I mean, everyone else played kind of bad, but if those two guys are playing anywhere near like this in the playoffs,
yeah, it's gonna be great. I know that Doug McDermott, Dougie McBuckies, has been a little
Dougie McBuckies.
He's been a little bit streaky this season, and like they specifically got him to like bolster the bench scoring. So
yeah.
Hopefully they can make that happen. I mean, this is maybe my Eastern Conference team.
I
like the Pacers. So
That's fair. Last run real quick. Raptors got by the Grizzlies 112 to 114.
122 to 114.
122 to 114. That wouldn't make any sense. Kyle Lowry led the Raptors.
They just looked better.
I think they
won.
I'm giving them the win.
It's just boxing now. Basketball just has boxing rules where you never know how many points were scored each quarter, and then they just are decided
at
the end.
That would be tight. Based on the eye test, that'd be really funny. Kyle Lowry led the Raps with 24. Kawhi had 17 and 10. Fred VanVleet came off the bench to contribute 18. Grizzlies could only put up 17 points in the fourth. Mark Gasol was the Mama Grizz with 27 points.
Ooh.
Mike Conley had 20. Grizzlies are going to be a tough playoff matchup.
Yeah. I'm surprised that the Grizzlies weren't able to squeak out this win.
Yeah. It's close. They played the best team in the East.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah.
Guys, that does it for us. Just quick reminder, this Monday, December 3rd, we're having a watch party.
Tom's Urban.
LA Live. Come through. Listeners get a $15 wing and beer special for coming out. Huge local brew selection. TomsUrban.com/lockedon has a lot more info over there. Come through. Let's see how many wings we can all eat.
Yeah.
Should we try and set... What's the record for wings eaten at Tom's Urban? We got to get an intern.
I have no idea.
You know all the wing records in Los Angeles. Guys, tomorrow we're going to have Thirsty Thursday for you. Things we want to see more of.
Recap of the Suns victory, hopefully.
Well, hopefully a Clippers victory.
Well, victory. I mean, I'm talking victory over the Suns.
We'll do a preview of the matchup against the Mavs. And yeah, I've been positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.